Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we worship and bless your name. King of glory, Lord of hosts, we adore you. Mighty God, mighty healer, mighty deliverer, we praise you. Ancient of days, Lion of the tribe of Judah, we adore you. We praise you, Lord, for you remain the same forever. You do not change. You reign from everlasting to everlasting. You do great and mighty works. You do terrible things in righteousness. We worship you, King of the universe. Blessed be your holy name. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are grateful, Lord, for all the good things you have done in our lives. Thank you for all the blessings we have received from you. Thank you for making your grace to be sufficient in our lives. Thank you for glorifying your name in our lives and situations. Thank you, Lord, for making all things work together for our good. Be praised forever. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your presence and power that is working great things in our lives. Thank you for granting our heart's desires. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. Thank you for shining your light on our heart. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the 40 days fasting that we concluded not long. We thank you for how you helped us through the fasting period. Blessed be your holy name. We thank you, Lord, for great and mighty miracles that will be happening to us and through us very shortly. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We are here this evening to learn from your word, from your scriptures. Father, speak to our hearts and minds, and let our understanding be enlightened and enriched in Jesus' name. Have your way in our midst, and answer every prayer we're going to pray here tonight. Thank you, Father, for I know you're going to do more than our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome you to the Lord's presence. We're going to continue from where we have stopped. We didn't finish the topic last week. The topic was examples of men of God imprisoned for their faith. Examples of men of God who were imprisoned for their faith. Yeah, we talked on several examples. And I think we stopped at John the Baptist. If I'm not mistaken. So we're going to continue from there. The next example of men in the Bible who were in prison for their faith is Peter and John. Peter and John. Let us read the book of Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 1 to 3. Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 3. And as they speak unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Yeah. You can see in this place Peter and John, they were captured, they were arrested and imprisoned because they were preaching Jesus. Yeah, now there was some sect in those days that were called Sadducees. Yeah, they were called Sadducees. This particular sect, they are a bit different from the Pharisees. The Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. Yeah. The Pharisees, they do not believe that anyone can rise from the dead or anyone will ever rise from the dead. And Peter and John were preaching that Jesus was killed and he rose from the dead. So they were offended. And not only that, even the priests were also offended. And the people in the temple, yeah, because they wanted the Old Testament traditions and practices to continue. Yeah, they wanted the rituals to continue, the sacrifices that were written in the Old Testament. They wanted all of that to continue. So all of them, they ganged up together against the church, especially against Peter and John. Yeah, so what you can learn from these people or from what happened to them is that when we stand for the truth, people who hate the truth, they will join hands together to fight us. Yeah. When we stand for the truth, when we preach the truth, you're going to see people join hands together. In fact, those people, they might not be close friends. They might have different beliefs. But because they hate the church and Christians, they will, because of that, unite together. I don't know if I get to my point. Somebody said, in the kingdom of darkness, they don't really have unity. Yeah, the person has been in the kingdom of darkness for some time. I mean, the person has been an agent of Satan for some time. So the person said, in the kingdom of darkness, they don't really have unity. So that is, they fight many times against themselves. Yeah, that demons, they quarrel among themselves. The principalities, they have differences. They have their differences. Yeah. So they are not really united. And then the person made a statement. The person said, the only thing that keeps them united is because they have a common enemy. And that enemy is Christians. Yeah, the common enemy that all of them in the dark kingdom have is Christians. Yeah, so because of Christians, they would unite together. They would partner together, agree together, so that they can effectively attack Christians and destroy them. Yeah, but if they rise up in their thousands and millions to attack you, they shall not succeed. They shall fall down, and be destroyed in Jesus' name. Yeah, so our enemies can unite together because of us. Like as we see in this passage, the Sadducees, they united with the priest. Yeah, even though they had differences, because the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection from the dead. But the priests are not, you know, many of the priests in those days were Pharisees. Yeah, so, and the Pharisees believed there is resurrection from the dead. Yeah, so then in those days there were different. A lot of people believe in different things. Yeah, but God gave them opportunity to believe in Jesus. But they couldn't. I pray that you will not reject Jesus in your lifestyle and actions in Jesus' name. Yeah, because some people, they claim that they belong to Jesus with their mouth, with their voice, with their words, but their lifestyle and actions proved otherwise. I pray you will not be like that in Jesus' name. So we saw how they were captured in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 1 to verse 3. They were captured because of their preaching, because they preached Jesus. Yeah, and if you read further, yeah, maybe I should read another verse for you from this passage. Yeah, let me read let me read verse 18 to verse 20. Yeah, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. I want to continue to read from verse 18 to 20. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now you can see the boldness and the confidence of these men. Yeah, they were not afraid of what they could do to them. Yeah, in fact, I think they had them beaten before they released them. Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe it wasn't this place. Yeah. So, they were not afraid of the Sanhedrin. Yeah, because the people who captured them, they were known as the Sanhedrin. Yeah, the Sanhedrin in those days were a group of, I think, 70 people. And among them scholars, priests, Pharisees, Sadducees, people who are very vast in the knowledge of the law, of the Old Testament, laws and scriptures. Yeah, those were the Sanhedrin. Yeah, I think there used to be 70 members in that group. Yeah, they called them Sanhedrin. So they were the ones that arrested Peter and John. Yeah, but we can see from verse 18 to 20 that they spoke with boldness. They spoke without fear. I mean, Peter and John, they faced those people, and they said, we cannot but speak of the things which we have seen and heard. Yeah, they said, the people should judge in their hearts if it is good to obey them than to obey God. Yeah. I pray that God will give you boldness. Boldness to declare His word as it is, in any way you find yourself. Even if you have been arrested for preaching the truth, I pray God will give you the boldness and the fearlessness to stand for the truth without fear, to preach the truth without fear, any way you find yourself, in Jesus' name. Yeah, so let us move to another example. I think I'm already done with Peter and John. Yeah, because after they left those people called Sanhedrin, they continued to preach the gospel. They did not shut their mouth. Yeah, because they were determined to serve Jesus and to preach Jesus, even in the face of death. Now, another example are the apostles. Yeah, examples of men who were imprisoned for their faith. The apostles. Let us read Acts chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Acts chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. Praise the Lord. You can see how these people were angry. Yeah, that verse said, verse 17 said, the high priest and the Sadducees were filled with indignation. Yeah, that is wrath, anger, because Jesus is being preached and miracles were happening, so they were not happy about it. Even today, there will always be people who will not be happy with the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And there will always be people who will not be happy that the power of God is moving and is doing miracles and healing people and setting the captives free. Yeah, there will always be people who will not be comfortable with such demonstrations of God's power. Yeah, so we saw how they laid their hands on the apostles because they were doing what Jesus commanded them to do, and they put them in the common prison. Yeah, because they felt they had the authority to do that. Yeah, but let us see what happened after they did that. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5. Now, after they did that in verse 19 says, but the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You can see God sent his angel to go and release them from the prison. Men put them into prison, and then God went to the prison and released them. Now, what can we learn from that? We can learn that the government of God, the government of God is greater than the government of man. Yeah, and which also implies that the punishment of God is greater than the punishment of man. Yeah, but where I'm going is that God is able to reverse whatever certain people who think they are in powerful positions do to innocent men or blameless men. Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. God has the power to reverse any unrighteous thing or wicked thing that people in a government position or in a leadership position or people in authorities do to innocent men and righteous men. Yeah, God is able to reverse whatever is being done by the government, in as much as it was unjustly done. Yeah, so the laws of God supersede the laws of men. The government of God is above the government of man. Yeah, like some people, they would keep their mouth shut because the government tells them, don't ever speak about this Jesus. Yeah, because the government says, don't speak about this Jesus. So they also, they will shut their mouth and not speak about Jesus and not preach Jesus. Well, they are going to face the judgment in heaven, because Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of him here on earth, he will be ashamed of them in his kingdom. Yeah, so if we keep our mouth shut because some people in the government or some laws in the government or some policies is saying that we should not preach Jesus, then we have failed God. Yeah, and we have sinned, and we cannot enter into his kingdom if we do that. Yeah. So, because today there are countries where they have laws, and then they tell you, you can't preach Jesus. Yeah. In fact, they tell you can't preach, you can't preach Jesus on the street. You can't preach Jesus here. You can't preach Jesus there. Yeah, we saw that the apostles did not follow those laws. Yeah, they did not. Yeah. So if God is telling you to preach, and then you are scared of some laws or some people in the government or some authorities, and then you're not worthy of Jesus and you're not worthy of his kingdom. Yeah, because the people started this church that we are part of, they were fearless believers who don't care what anyone can do to them. Yeah, and as a matter of fact, the reason why many of those laws are prevailing in some countries is because Christians are not standing against such policies. Now, let me give an example. Now, if some people come together to protest, and then they write certain things on placards, on cardboard, and then they lift up those things and begin to shout, we don't want this, we don't want that, and everyone is protesting, nobody is going to arrest them for doing that, because according to democracy, everyone have freedom of speech, the right to protest. Yeah, so if people protest, there's not going to be police arresting people. Yeah, now, if people can protest and they are not being arrested because of democracy, then why are they arresting people for going on the street to preach Jesus? Yeah, I don't know if you get my point. If they can allow people to protest and it's okay if they do that, then what about people preaching what they believe is right in the public? Yeah, so you can see that something is wrong somewhere. Yeah, they say there is freedom of speech. Yeah, and then they are controlling the speech. Yeah, if there is freedom of speech, then speech means speech. Speech means anything you open your mouth to say. Yeah, and of course you're not trying to force your belief on anyone, you are just preaching. Yeah, you're preaching, and whoever decides to believe in what you're saying, they can repent and surrender their lives to Jesus. So, speech is speech. Yeah. So, if they say freedom of speech, that should include freedom to preach what you believe in. And in as much as you're not condemning anyone, you are not mentioning the names of some people, and then you're saying you're going to hell. You're evil, you're wicked. So since you're not pointing fingers to anyone, and you're not condemning anyone, that should also mean freedom of speech. Yeah, but these countries, yeah, like some countries in Europe, like Canada, if they see you preach on the street, you preach Jesus, the next thing is they say you are disturbing the public peace, and then they come to arrest you. Whereas if some people come together and then they start to protest, they don't arrest them. I don't know if I get my point. So, if we don't have to correct things, by being fearless and bold about our sin, that is how they would silence the voice of the church in many more countries all over the world. Because some people will say, they don't allow that here. I can't just preach here. Yeah, they don't allow that here. I can't just start to preach the gospel to them. Yeah, if you keep your mouth shut and then another Christian keep his mouth shut and then another one keep their mouth shut, before you know it, they will silence the voice of all Christians and all churches in that place. And before you know it, the next thing they will do is to start arresting Christians for no reason, and start locking them up in prison. In fact, a time is coming where they would enter into people's houses. Yeah. They will enter into houses of Christians, and they will go and arrest them from their houses. Now, this is not on the streets now. They will enter into your house to arrest you just because you are a Christian, and they will lock you up in the prison. Now, before that time comes, we need to rise and fight by standing in the public to defend our faith, yeah, and to preach Jesus without fear. Yeah, because if we don't correct this thing, and then, if we don't correct this thing, it's going to get worse. Yeah, and then Christians that are lawyers, they should start to sue the government for not allowing Christians express themselves in public places. So this is the time for us to make the move. If we don't, very soon, it's going to be very hard even for you to fill a form and then write on that form that you're a Christian. In fact, doing that will put you in great danger. So very soon, people will be scared even to say they are Christians. Yeah, because they can be arrested for that. Yeah, but we can change things now if we rise and begin to publicly declare our faith anywhere we find ourselves. Now, you might be saying that that's going to cause trouble. I might lose my job. I might be sent out of school, yeah, because some high schools, some universities, some secondary schools. Now, you know, primary schools presently, they don't allow anyone to talk about Jesus in the office, because he sent an angel . Praise the Lord. Yeah. I said, God will surely deliver us from the hands of wicked leaders if we insist on what we believe and refuse to compromise. Yeah, just as he delivered the apostles in those days. They put them in the prison, and then the angel of the Lord went to the prison and released them. Yeah, so if we stand for what is right without fear, God is able to deliver us from whatever will happen to us. Yeah. Yeah, so I pray that you will be bold at this time. I pray you'll be bold about your faith in Jesus' name. Let us look at other examples of men who were imprisoned for their faith. Another example is men and women Christians in Jerusalem. Men and women Christians in Jerusalem. Let us read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verse 3. Acts of the Apostles 8. Verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men. And women, committed them to prison, and holy men and women committed them to prison. Let us read it from a New Living Translation. I want you to get that, please, very well. Acts of the Apostles, page verse 3. It says, but Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. You can see how New Living Translation put it. So here, Saul, who later became Apostle Paul, at this time, he was still a sinner. He hasn't repented yet. So he went everywhere to destroy the church. He hated Christians with great passion. So he went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Yeah, just like what I said earlier, that the time is coming when people from the government would enter into the houses of Christians to capture them and throw them into prison. Yeah, because of their faith. Yeah, that time is coming. Yeah. So, this is what Saul was also doing to Christians in those days. Not only that, let us also read Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. So you can see that. So Saul didn't stop. Let us read it from New Living Translation. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. So you can see how Christians were seriously persecuted in those days. Yeah, and we saw that it was on his way to Damascus, he already had gotten the letters. Yeah, and he was going to capture many more believers and throw them into prison. And it was, in fact, it says he was eager to kill. Yeah, he was eager to kill anyone that is, you know, that is found following Jesus and following the way of the gospel. But on his way to Damascus, we saw that the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And that was how he was converted to Christianity. I pray that everyone that is like Apostle, that is like Saul, who is going everywhere to persecute Christians, and to kill Christians, and to capture Christians, I pray that the Lord Jesus appear to them and convert them in Jesus' name. Yeah. So, we are just looking at examples So that is why I'm not talking much on these passages. Yeah, because the teaching is about biblical examples of people who were captured for their faith in Jesus. Yeah, so let us also look at verse 14 of the same Acts chapter 9. Verse 14. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Now this was Ananias talking to the Lord. Yeah, when the Lord told him to go and pray for Saul, who later became Paul, he was talking to the Lord. He was saying, this man is very wicked. Why are you saying I should go and pray for him? In fact, he already have gotten authority from the chief priest to bind everyone that call on your name. Yeah, so in those days, the chief priest can give people authority. Yeah, and then they will go and arrest anyone caught preaching about Jesus. Yeah, because the Roman government who were ruling Israel at that time, gave the religious leaders some power to carry out certain punishment, yeah, according to their laws. Yeah, because all that the Roman government need from them is that they paid taxes. Yeah. So in as much as the government was getting enough money from the religious leaders, so they don't care what they do to they don't care what they do to innocent people. Yeah, and we saw that it was the same religious leaders, the chief priests, the Pharisees. It was the same people who made sure that Jesus was crucified. Yeah. It was the same religious leaders. They are always willing to bribe. Yeah, so they were I don't know how to say it. They were using the Roman government to their advantage. Yeah. So to carry out their wicked agendas. Yeah, because the prisons they would lock these people in, the same Roman prisons. I mean prisons that belongs to the Roman government of that time. Yeah, so those religious leaders were partnering with the Roman government to fight against Christians. Yeah, because they had some influence at that time. Yeah, but God, in His mercy, was delivering those Christians, though some of them were healed in those days. Yeah. Let us continue. Also, let us look at the same Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verse 4 to 5. Acts 22, verse 4 to verse 5. Now, this was Apostle Paul talking. He said, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women, as also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were they bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished." Yeah. So you can see he did all that to those that are following Jesus. Let us also look at chapter 19. Okay, verse 19 of this particular act, chapter 22. Let us read verse 19. "And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believe on thee." Yeah, or maybe I should read from verse 17. Act 22 from verse 17. "And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee." Verse 20, "And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was also standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him." Verse 21, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Yeah. This was Paul sharing his experience. Yeah. He thought that because they knew him to be a great persecutor of Christians before he repented, he thought because of that they would be able to accept his testimony and listen to his preaching. Yeah, but Jerusalem and the people there, they have always been like gold. They will not always listen to the voice of God. They will not always repent. Yeah. In fact, they were going to kill Paul at one of those times he went to Jerusalem. If not that God rescued him. Yeah. Because they hated him. And the reason why they hated him was that he was on their side. Before he now turned to the side of Jesus. Yeah, so they were angry about that. Yeah. So you can see here that Paul was saying that he was saying he was even he was there when they killed Stephen. They were standing there consenting to his death. Yeah, so in those days they killed some of the Christians because of their faith in Jesus. But today, Christians are so fearful. Yeah, they don't want to lose their lives. They don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to lose anything. Yeah. They are scared to preach. Yeah. I wonder if they really want to make heaven. Yeah, because how do we expect to enter into the same heaven that the early apostles and the early Christians entered if we don't live the kind of life they lived? If we are so scared about our faith, if we are so fearful about declaring the truth and preaching the truth and testifying of the truth in everywhere we find ourselves, how should we be allowed, or why should we be allowed to enter into the same heaven that those people entered? Yeah, because we really have not embraced the lifestyle they lived for Jesus in their lifetime. I pray you will embrace the lifestyle of the early Christians even at this time in Jesus' name. I pray that you will not you will not be about saving your life. Yeah. Instead of losing it for the sake of Christ. In Jesus' name. Let us also look at Acts of the Apostles, chapter 26, verse 10. Acts 26, verse 10. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I give my voice against them. Yeah. You see that? This is still Apostle Paul talking here of what he did to Christians. Yeah. One of the lessons that we need to learn from these people is their fearlessness concerning their faith. Yeah, I'm not saying it is the will of God for you to go to prison right now. No. Yeah. It's not all of us that are going to go to prison for our faith. Yeah, in fact, some of us might not even be persecuted at all. Yeah, maybe is our children and grandchildren that will face the serious persecution that is coming. I mean, the one that will go along with death and imprisonment. Yeah. But what the Lord wants you to learn from this teaching is the fearlessness of those believers in those days. Yeah, is their fearlessness. How they were bold about their faith. How they were fearless about their faith. And they don't care what anyone would do to them. And they were ready to die for their faith. Are you also ready to die for your faith? How bold are you about your faith? In fact, some Christian parents today, they are not even bold enough to declare their faith to their children and teach their faith to their children and train their children according to the way of their faith. Yeah, so if you are not bold to even to show your children the way of the Lord, how will you be bold to show an outsider the way of the Lord? Yeah, may God deliver our generation. Let us look at other examples before we pray. Another example is Peter. Yeah, Peter was also imprisoned. Let us look at Acts 12, verse 1 to 4. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Now, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him. intending after he starts to bring him forth to the people. Yeah, so you can see how Peter was taken by the king. And earlier before this time, James was killed by the same king. Yeah, so, you know, even right now, I'm asking myself, why did Herod kill the James? What exactly did he do? Though the Bible did not tell us what James did. But I know it's about their hatred. I mean, it's all about the hatred of this evil man for Jesus, because they hated Jesus and they hated those that are preaching his gospel. Yeah. So, and of course, these men, they are being controlled by Satan. So, they are willing to even, they are willing to arrest anyone for no reason, in as much as they are followers of Jesus. Yeah. And one of the reasons why they were so angry with the church was because the apostles were exposing their wickedness, because they were the ones who got Jesus arrested and crucified. So whenever they preach, they would say, we are preaching to you Jesus who was arrested by the chief priest, arrested by the king, condemned by Herod, condemned. So they will mention all those leaders that they condemned this man, they arrested him, then they killed him, and then God rose him back to life the third day. So that part of God brought him back to life. They don't want to hear that part. Yeah, they don't want to hear that he was eventually resurrected. Yeah, because they wanted to silence everything about Jesus and the gospel forever. Yeah, so that no one gets to hear about him. And also they don't want those miracles to continue to happen. So one of the things that also vexed those people was the miracles that the name of the same Jesus they sent to the grave was producing in the land. Yeah, so they get so very offended. Yeah, because they couldn't stop those miracles by killing Jesus. They thought by killing Jesus, the miracles would stop, but they were wrong, because in fact the miracles now multiplied after Jesus had resurrected and gone back to heaven. So they were not really happy. Yeah, because the more the miracles kept on happening, the more Christianity was becoming more popular and it was gaining more influence, and they felt threatened. Yeah, because people are no longer practicing the Old Testament rituals and, you know, blood sacrifices, animal sacrifices. Yeah, people were no longer practicing that. And that was one of the ways through which they make their money. All the chief priests and the rest of them. That was how they live. Yeah, because they live from the sacrifices and the offerings the people bring to the temple. Yeah, so now these people are rising and they call themselves Christians, and then they're everywhere working miracles, preaching that Old Testament is no longer the way. Yeah, you know, all of that vexed them, and they were ready to go at any length to stop the church, but they still couldn't stop the church. Yeah, and that is the good news. If today everybody, every unbeliever in the world start to persecute the church, the truth is that the church cannot be stopped. The church will not be stopped. Yeah, because they have tried it before. They didn't succeed. So even if they tried 100 times, they still cannot succeed. Yeah, though there are people in the church today who will fall if persecution were to rise now. But there are those who cannot fall. Yeah, because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. I pray that you will not be among those that will fall when Satan rises to wage war against the church in these last days. In Jesus' name. Another example of men who were in prison for their faith is Paul and Silas. Yeah, according to Acts chapter 16, verse 22-24, Paul and Silas. Acts 16:22-24. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. You can see that there's no time. Let us move to other examples. Yeah, the next one also was Paul's imprisonment. So apart from this one that happened here in Acts 16, where him and Silas were imprisoned, there are other cases where only Paul was imprisoned. Yeah. Let us read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Second Corinthians 11:23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in death, hope. Yeah, this is Apostle Paul talking about what he had gone through. Yeah, when some people were were challenging his calling, his ministry. Yeah, and we're trying to downgrade him in the Corinthian church. Yeah, so he was telling them that when it comes to ministry, he has done much more for Christ than many of those people that were talking bad about him. He said in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. That is, he got more beatings than those people for the sake of Christ. In prisons, more frequent. So he got into prison more than many of those other ministers who were speaking bad of him. Now, let us look at the final imprisonment of Paul. Yeah. Let us read Acts 24. You know, Paul had gotten used to being imprisoned as a minister. Yeah, because it happens to him a lot in those days. You know, to the point that the last years of his life was spent in prison till he was killed. Yeah, let us read Acts 24. Verse 27. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to shew the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. So you can see, Paul was there in prison for more than 3 years. In fact, let us read verse 26. He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might lose him. Wherefore he sent for him the governor and communed with him. So you can see this man, Festus. Okay. Yeah. I think it's Festus. Whether Festus or Felix, okay. It was Felix. Yeah. Okay, let us read from verse 24, Acts 24, from verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and had him concerning the faith in Christ. And as a reason of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Yeah, so it was Felix. Felix would have released Paul. Yeah, from the prison. But because Paul was not going to give him a bribe, So in those days, bribery was very, very common among the government leaders and officials, even among the religious leaders. So because Paul wasn't going to give him bribe, even though he knew Paul was innocent of all the charges that were brought against him, but because he wasn't going to give bribe, so he didn't release him. Yeah, and even after 2 years, you can see Paul stayed in the prison for 2 years. And even after that, after the 2 years, he still left him bound. Yeah, because he's just about the money, since he always gets money from the Jews. So because he was going to continue to show the Jews the pleasure, so he left Paul bound. Yeah, that is how wicked our human beings are. Imagine keeping someone in prison because he would not give you a bribe. Yeah, that's great wickedness. Now, let us also look at chapter 26, verse 29. Acts 26. Verse 29. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except this bond. So you can see Paul continued from one prison to another, and even when Agrippa came, yeah, they couldn't free him. So you can see this man, Festus came, they didn't free him. Agrippa came, they still didn't free him. Yeah, they didn't free Paul from the prison. Now let us read chapter 28, verse 16. Acts 28, verse 16. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. You can see, till the day Paul was killed, he lived all the rest of his life in prison for the sake of Jesus. And from the prison, he wrote some letters, yeah, which you might have come across in your Bible. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. Yeah, the point is that let us be willing to suffer for Jesus and for his gospel. For that is where real reward is. Everlasting reward, eternal reward. That is where it is. Yeah, I pray that you will do that in Jesus' name. I pray you will be ready to endure persecution and even prison for the sake of Jesus. Yeah, there is this unspeakable joy that fills the hearts of true Christians when they endure persecution and even imprisonment for the sake of Jesus. I pray we find that joy. Now, I'm not saying you have to go to prison. Yeah, or maybe suffer some serious persecution. Well, if that happens, fine. But what I'm saying is that there is this joy that you can only find it when you suffer for Jesus. Yeah, you can't find it when you're just in your comfort zone. Yeah, there's this strength, this joy, this inward transformation that you find only when you give yourself to suffering for the sake of Jesus. The apostles, they found that joy. But many people today have not really found this type of joy I'm talking about. Yeah, because nobody wants to suffer for the sake of Jesus. Yeah. Everybody wants to stay in their comfort zone. Yeah, so you don't have to be seriously persecuted to find this joy. Yeah, but the question is, how much have you suffered for the sake of Jesus and His gospel? Yeah, how much suffering have you endured? How much labors have you done? How much work have you done when it comes to preaching the gospel and seeking for those that are lost to win them into God's kingdom? Yeah, so that is where you find this type of joy. You find this joy on the mission field. Yeah, when you labor so hard to win souls. So the apostles, they found such life, such joy, to the point that they were ready to die, yeah, for Christ. I pray you will find that joy in Jesus' name. So we're going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. I'm going to also pray on your water right now. Father, we are grateful for this hour we have spent in your presence. Thank you for showing us examples of people like us in your word who suffered the great persecution in their lifetime. And were also in prison for their faith in you. Thank you for helping us to learn from these people. I ask, O Lord, that the things we have learned today shall not depart from us in Jesus' name. Let everyone here receive grace, O Lord, to be bold, courageous, and fearless concerning their faith in Jesus' name. Create in us such hearts that is ready to suffer and to go through pains and shame for the sake of Jesus and His gospel. In Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that You release Your power and fire into the water Your people have presented unto You right now. Let this water become a mighty weapon of healing and deliverance that You will use to heal them and to set them free in Jesus' name. Thank You, Father, for I know You're going to do beyond what we have asked. Blessed be Your holy name. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.